What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
I just can't seem to get rid of Charlie the Fister McMullen, can I, on this show?
Nope, I'm like herpes.
You really want to be compared to that?
If it wasn't accurate, then I wouldn't even have brought it up, but there's no get around it.
Fair enough. So, all right, tonight on What the Fuck, we're going to do something a little abnormal. We're breaking from format. And not like we did on the Charlie and I Completely Beat the Crap Out of Alex episode, which is getting a lot of feedback. I was going to say good, but there's a surprisingly large number, Charlie, of people that are agreeing with Alex, and that really takes me back. That shocks me.
Yeah, last time I saw Jowski, he said that he's been getting all kinds of weird emails from people saying, yeah, fuck minimum wage.
Yeah, fuck those people for not planning their lives out. Yeah, they were born poor. They deserve to die poor.
Stick to your guns. Don't listen to those two bearded assholes.
Yeah, whatever. All right. So tonight we are going to talk about copyright and what should and should not be copyrightable. Now, as we're recording this, in 2 days, Charlie, it will be the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's famous I Have a Dream speech. By the time this airs, it'll be about 4 days ago. But regardless, it's this week. Now, you watched it recently. That's some powerful shit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of the best speeches in all of American history.
Now, do you think that that is part of American history, that it is part of our cultural history, that it is part of history?
Yeah, of course I do.
So, do you think it's right that his greedy sons of a bitchin' heirs, his children and grandchildren, have copyrighted this speech, and you are not able to legally play more than 30 seconds of it without paying them exorbitant fees? And by that, I'm saying, like, 20 grand to play it in a documentary, yet they'll sell it freely to a goddamn cell phone commercial.
Well, first of all, I would like to point out that you used sons of a bitchin' as a gerund. That was awesome.
Did I? Okay,
yeah,
if it was awesome, great, but I didn't mean to.
That was an action verb, sons of a bitchin'. That is awesome.
That's going to have to work its way into your normal vernacular now, isn't it?
Can you believe this sons of a bitchin' motherfucker?
I'm inventing new words. Hey, people have been using Gimp It Up ever since I did that on Radiodrome the first time.
And Taintish has been making the rounds.
Only tangentially. Do you think that it is right that you have to pay exorbitant fees to be able to use one of the most culturally significant speeches of modern times, almost, to the point that there are documentaries on PBS and on the History Channel that have had to omit this because they could not afford it? There was an entire documentary series on PBS that had to completely ignore almost the Martin Luther King struggle because his goddamn sons of bitchin's heirs actually wanted to charge them even for putting text up on the screen of verbatim of this speech.
I don't think that's right. I don't know how to put it. My clashing with copyright laws lately has come from just an anti-greed perspective. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that it most all copyright things are rooted in greed, I think. It's almost Ayn Rand, Guy Fawkesian kind of thinking on my part. Like, you know, art is for the people. Art should be for the people. If you're already getting paid for something, you don't have to get paid every time somebody else wants to enjoy it. I think that's dickish. But this is an interesting case because when we were talking about this on the phone the other day, definitely think the speech is worth something. But I don't think this is the way to go about showing that. You know what I mean?
I agree. And the way I look at it, let's go back to the first part of what you said. I agree with copyright in general. I think if you create something, you should be able, if you so choose, to profit off of it for some time, which is why when copyright was first instituted, it had a limit of 25 years. They basically said, you've got 25 years to profit off this thing you've created, then it belongs to everybody. Then that got extended to 35 years, and then 50 years. And then 85 years. And now it's something like 265 years.
Until there comes a day when you have to call the body of work of the Three Stooges intellectual property, which just doesn't feel right.
But see, what really pushes these copyright extensions are Universal and Disney.
Yep.
Disney is terrified that Steamboat Willie will fall into the public domain and they lose Mickey Mouse. Universal is the same way with their classic monster movies. Ironically enough, all of which are based on public domain works, which they don't seem to grasp the irony of they're fighting for copyright over their version of Dracula and Frankenstein when those are both based off public domain novels.
But, not to mention Sleeping Beauty, Pinocchio, Snow White.
Exactly.
Almost everything they have.
And Universal will sue anyone that has a Dracula that looks like theirs. You know, the classic Dracula with the cape, the Hungarian accent, the very Bela Lugosi hand gestures. They consider that their Dracula, because that's pretty much not the way he was described, like, at all in the book. And they will sue anyone. They've sued schools, grammar schools. They sued a Transylvanian amusement park over that image.
Yeah.
And they are terrified that those will fall into the public domain. But that's not what we're discussing tonight. I think the thing with the Martin Luther King issue is he is the one who copywrote this himself, because he knew what was going to be done with this. And I can't necessarily agree with his reasoning, but yet I can. He didn't want anti-civil rights groups like the Klan being able to use his speech to impede civil rights. So in that regard, I see what he was going for, right?
It's pretty forward-thinking. I mean, especially for 1963.
But then at the same time, because you got to remember, Martin Luther King basically eschewed all materialism. He owned basically nothing. He gave away everything he had. So for him to think that he was going to profit off this, I don't believe that the man had that in mind. Enter his greedy sons of bitchin'. I'm gonna start using that, by the way.
It's catchy, isn't it?
I'm gonna vilify his greedy sons of bitchin' heirs. They said, our granddad copywrote this. There's no reason we shouldn't profit off of it. Not like we did anything to fucking deserve it, right?
Right. That's the reason, I think. Like, the reason why you shouldn't profit off of it is because it's not your speech. You didn't write one word of it. It has fuck all to do with you just because a relative of yours wrote it.
What about then with, like, Frank Herbert's son, who has been raping the Dune franchise for the last 20 years, or the children of Frank Frazetta? The dad is the famous one, and they're the ones that are fucking rich over it. I mean, look at Frazetta's son. His son used a backhoe to break into his dad's museum to steal paintings he thought he was owed.
Yeah.
Listen, you little bitch, you didn't paint them.
Yeah, I think all of that is wrong for the same reason. I think this is one of the worst examples of the American sense of entitlement that I've never really been able to accept.
But you also see sort of a double-edged sword here that his greedy sons of bitch and relatives... I'm really going to keep working that in, by the way.
Nice.
That his greedy sons of bitch and relatives are actually impeding what their dad or granddad was actually trying to accomplish by not allowing this into documentaries on civil rights, by not allowing schools to be able to play this speech, by not allowing people to see it on YouTube or to view it when it's culturally relevant. Doesn't that actually hurt the cause that Martin Luther King was trying to get across?
Yeah, it does. It's impeding history is what it's doing, because if people can copyright stuff like this and like hoard it away because they're not being met financially where they want to be met, that's an impediment to history.
Well, it's like you've heard about that piece of shit slime bag Wade Williams, right?
Wade Williams. Who is that?
He calls himself a film archivist. What he likes to do is take classic old TV shows like Tales of Tomorrow, Lights Out, you know, those old live ones from the 40s, and like old movies like Plan 9 from Outer Space and the first rocket to the moon and things like that.
Yeah.
He buys up the master print. And see, the way copyright works, if you alter something, you can copyright something that's public domain. So if you take something that's public domain, Charlie, and you add your own unique score to it, you can copyright that version of it with your music under it, okay?
Okay.
So what he does is he buys these, he adds Wade Williams Presents on it as the new title, then he recopyrights that version, and then attempts to buy up every non-Wade Williams Presents version out there. So nowadays, if you're looking for a copy of Plan 9 from Outer Space, you're going to have a fuck of a hard time finding one that does not have Wade Williams Presents on it that is actually public domain. That's just greed for the sake of greed. He said, this public domain stuff, why am I not profiting from this?
Well, this is America.
But I'm not talking about the legality, because legally, he's within his rights. I'm talking about the morality. That is just ethically bankrupt, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's ethically bankrupt. It's creatively bankrupt. It's trying to profit off of the work that other people do that has, once again, has fuck all to do with you.
So I think this speech being part of history, and there's no denying that it is part of history, I think it is just, it's an abuse of copyright is what it is. That's truly what it is. This is an abuse of copyright. And I think there should be, you know, I have tons of issues with copyright to begin with. I think there should be exceptions to copyright. I don't think you should be able to copyright something like a live speech that was given, because wasn't the whole point of that to get that out there?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of giving the speech in front of over a million people.
And that speech actually helped change our country for the better. So why should a documentary have to pay a third of their entire production budget to be able to use fucking clips of this?
They shouldn't. I mean, the act of filming it is the only thing that changes it from just somebody talking to a bunch of people into something more, something that can be argued about legally. And I hate shit like that. I don't think, regardless of the circumstances, I don't think anybody should be able to profit off of work they did not do. This is the worst version of the American sense of entitlement that I can think of. This just that's the argument that keeps coming up. It's ugly. It's an ugly part of the national character that we've fostered the American dream into people thinking they can get rich just by fucking with the law. And I don't think that's right. I don't think that's what the American dream should be. I don't think that's what Martin Luther King had in mind when he was trying to inspire his generation. You know what I mean?
Well, that and the fact that I just look at it as a perversion of what copyright is supposed to protect misuse. It's not supposed to be a get-rich-quick scheme.
Yeah, it's not supposed to itself be misuse.
Exactly. And that's where I think the problem in this particular case is. And now some people are going to say, well, then you and I, Charlie, we do not understand how copyright works. That it doesn't matter what the reason for it being copyrighted is. It's fucking copywritten. Deal with it. And I just think these people, they have a myopic view. They have an extremely myopic view that, for instance, did you know that the goddamn Zapruder film of JFK's assassination is copyrighted?
Yeah, I think I had heard that somewhere. God, that's stupid.
So, I mean, I get it. Abraham Zapruder shot this. But it's not copyrighted by Abraham Zapruder. Well, now it is, because it was given back to him. But he's not the one who copywrote this. He gave it to Time magazine. Time said, well, Zapruder didn't copyright it. Why can't we?
Exactly. Profiting off of shit that you didn't do.
These are things that are culturally significant images, culturally significant moments in our history. And I think as we come up on the 50th anniversary of this I Have a Dream speech, I think this speech should be public domain. And in all honesty, for the longest time, I thought it was.
Yeah, I didn't know this was copyrighted until you told me like 2 days ago.
Did it shock you, or were you kind of like, well, that's interesting?
No, it was shocking. I did just thought of it in more of a pure sense, I guess. I just thought of it as a part of history, something that we can all have access to and learn from. The thought of this being copywritten for any reason just never occurred to me.
What about when it comes to just general news footage, like, say, the riots at the Republican National Convention in Vietnam that was shot by, say, CBS News? Even though that's culturally significant, should CBS have the right to decide who and what is done with the footage they shot?
Actually, that's a very good example, because you're talking about the 1968 riots in Chicago, right? And I think that might have been the Democratic National Convention.
Was it?
I think it was, because there's a couple of books of Hunter S. Thompson's that covers that extensively. The one that I've been reading lately was Fear and Loathing in America. that I think was the second volume of his personal correspondence from this year to that year, and I think 68 was right in the middle. And he covered the Democratic National Convention. He covered that in Chicago for Rolling Stone.
Okay, now, I got the wrong one. My apologies.
No problem. Given what happened, it only makes sense to assume it was the Republican National Committee. What happened was all the coverage that Hunter Thompson and Dave Felton and a bunch of other guys got for Rolling Stone, they copywrote that. Everything that they had.
They as the writers, like Thompson, or they as Rolling Stone?
They as Jan Wenner and Rolling Stone. And the reason was because Rolling Stone was one of only a couple of other outlets that were reporting on the actual riots. The actual riots and everything that Mayor Daley said during that time, like that whole fucking just hate-riddled speech that he gave the next day. All of that was being swept under the rug by most other major news outlets. Rolling Stone and a couple of other magazines were the only ones reporting on the riots themselves. So they copywrote all of their coverage just to keep it from being buried. You know what I mean?
But is then devil's advocate question, is that right? Should they even though they did the legwork, should the news, let's say CBS News, NBC News, whatever it was going to cover this fairly? Should they have had to pay for access to those images?
That's a tricky question, man. I don't know. It's weird because context comes into it a lot and intent comes into it a lot. I don't know. Like, I think that if a news story is going to be copywritten, I think it should only be able to be copywritten by the person that did the most work to get it, to get the story, to get all the facts, to find proof, whatever the case is. The person who did the most work should be the only one who could copyright it. Like, using the example that I had a minute ago, I don't think Rolling Stone should have been able to copyright it. I think Hunter Thompson himself should have been able to copyright it. You know what I mean?
I do, but like when I worked in a newsroom for a decade and I saw everything that any reporter did, any reporter shot, it belonged to whatever the parent company was. I don't know if that's a perversion of the copyright laws or not. Because maybe I am being a smelly hippie here, but I believe when something is culturally significant, it is not an artistic work. And now I'm going to catch a lot of flack by saying that like shooting news footage is not artistic, and that's not what I mean. I mean, when you make a movie, when you make a song, Charlie, you're an artist. When you make a painting, when you make a drawing, that's an expression of your art. When you're shooting for the news, you're doing your job. And that footage can become culturally significant. Is there a difference in what can and cannot be copywritten there morally and ethically?
Yeah, I think there is a difference. I think this whole thing is showing me kind of where I stand on a whole issue. I'm not really as against copywriting as I thought I was. I'm just against the wrong people being able to copyright shit. Like, I think iconic images like that, I think it's okay for them to be copywritten, but only by, using your example, only by the camera operator who is shooting the actual footage.
Because I can tell you right now, unequivocally, even like when a reporter or a photog wants to make like a demo reel of their best stuff to give to another station, they have to get permission from the station that they shot it for to use it because it's not their footage to even put on their demo reel.
Right.
I think there's something inherently wrong there.
I do too. I think there is something very wrong with that. Because anything that gives news footage any artistic merit is the choices made by the camera operator at the time.
But then there's also the opposite. What about how the news likes to copyright their footage and their newscast when they don't pay for the things that they use? For instance, say Lady Gaga is showing her penis on YouTube or something like that, and CNN wants to cover that. CNN would just show the video shot off of a video monitor off of YouTube. They wouldn't go and pay Lady Gaga for that, but then they will go and copyright their coverage of them covering Lady Gaga showing her penis.
Well, see,
this as sort of an Ouroboros or what?
It's kind of an Ouroboros. I know where you're coming from, but I don't think Lady Gaga should be the one paid if she's shown her penis. I think the person who shot the video of it should be paid, and I think that's the only person who should be paid. Because even if there's no real artistic merit to it, even if it's just the lucky happenstance of being in the right place at the right time, whoever made the effort to capture the image, regardless of what it is, I think that's the only person who should be able to copyright it.
So I'm going to do something different after Hart.
Okay.
You guys are gonna have to just listen to what Hart and I talk about. And when we come back, Charlie and I are really going to break format. And we're going to do something a little weird when we come back.
Stick around for that. Motherfuckers, it's Hart D. Fisher here, and we are now in the heart attack segment of the what the fuck moment. And of course, Josh Hadley's with me. Say hi, Josh.
Hi, Josh.
Fucker. Hey, I just saw the British MPs have voted to reject a military strike in Syria. Yay!
Yeah, too bad the Americans won't vote for that.
Well, it's not about what we vote for. These guys aren't asking for our opinion. These assholes in our government want to do whatever they want to do. They want to lie to us anytime they want. You know, they said the NSA spying on everybody was fine, but it turns out that the NSA has admitted to breaking their own laws over 2,000 times, and that's just what they admit to. After they said, oh, no, you're fine. The baby's fine with us. The baby's fine at my house. But they dropped the baby on its fucking head 2,000 plus times that they will admit to. So that's right, the NSA is spying on the entire world, and they're wondering why we're not attacking Syria. This whole thing in Syria is fucking horseshit. We should not be involved whatsoever. This chemical weapons stuff is not about us. And there's a lot of allegations that it's a false flag operation. Have you been reading about this shit, Josh?
I have, and I believe that they got the chemical weapons from us.
So here's the deal, too. So accordingly, they get the chemical weapons from us, just like Iraq did when Iraq used chemical weapons on Iran. They got them from us. And on the full hour-length heart attack, we had a little discussion about the reality of America and the reality of empire. And the simple fact of the matter is, Josh couldn't name one single country that there's a Chinese military base in outside of motherfucking China. And Hong Kong don't count because Hong Kong's part of fucking China.
I was going to say, yeah, it's basically the same thing. So.
Same thing. And same with Russia.
You couldn't name a single fucking country Russia was in that wasn't Russian. There's no Russian bases in South America or Africa that I'm aware of. But America seems to have Afghanistan. They don't have bases there anymore, bro. There's no Russian bases in Afghanistan. They're all gone. We have bases in Afghanistan. And Afghanistan is right next to Russia. And it's all about the oil pipeline to Russia. It's about the opium for the Chinese. And it's about the new plutonium they found that they need for the batteries. Money, 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 and lies. Lie after lie.
And see, this thing with Syria, it could be serious, especially because the Russians have basically said, well, Syria's our ally, and you're provoking us if you invade them, and all this country is talking about is Miley Cyrus giving a rim job to a fat black chick wearing a teddy bear costume.
Here's the thing. We're not talking about it. The corporations that are working hand in hand with the government to suppress us and kill us for profit and gain every fucking day, they're killing us with prescription drugs. They're fucking killing us with technology and this genetically modified food that destroys your immune system, that turns you into a fat fucking pig. They're convincing everybody they need to be on an energy drink when they don't. They need to get themselves some fucking Hydra Blue like I do. I pay money for my Hydra Blue. You should fucking too. That's a plug. What the hell? I'll work the plug in right now. Get yourself some Hydra Blue. Use the coupon code HORROR, get 15% off your order. Now I'm back to my fucking rant. They want to take our guns away. They want to put us in jail for Facebook posts. They want to put us in jail for thought crimes. And they want to attack anybody they fucking feel like. This is sickening. Because who would we be helping in Syria? Al-Qaeda?
Al-Qaeda is in Syria. But then the Syrian government is supposedly our ally, which is why we gave them chemical weapons in the first place.
But if we help the rebels, we are now fighting with Al-Qaeda.
Isn't it funny, right? How you use the word rebels? Because they're rebels if they're our allies, but if they're fighting us, they're terrorists, but they're the same fucking thing.
Same fucking thing. It's all bullshit. Guys who are listening to this, folks that are listening to this, our government thinks you're stupid. They think you're fucking dumb. Are you fucking dumb, America? I'm asking you a goddamn question. I'm asking you a fucking question. Are you dumb, America? Are you as dumb as Obama and his fucking bootlackeys think you are? That they think you're going to just sit there and let them ass fuck you day in and day out while they poison you with garbage Pizza Hut and they poison... I mean, half the shit that's sold to us to eat on television, Taco Hell and all that garbage, it's garbage. It's utter fucking garbage. But you can't smoke weed. Heaven help you if you smoke weed. You can grow weed in your backyard. That's why they don't want you to smoke weed, because they can't bill you for it.
They can't control it.
That's why. They can't control it. And this is all about controlling you guys. They're trying to control us because they're afraid of us. We the people. They're afraid we will rise up and we will take an active participation in our governance. And that's what I'm calling for. Get up off your ass. We're not talking about Miley Cyrus. Nobody cares about Miley Cyrus. The man is trying to distract us while he fists us with his other hand. That is what is going on here. No one cares about Miley. They care about Syria. They're afraid about their gun getting taken away from them. They want their weed because they're in pain and they're hurting from eating shitty fucking food.
You're wrong, though. Most of America does care more about Miley Cyrus than
it's
Syria.
A trick. Nope, it's a mind fuck. It's a trick. Where do you see it on? The news. Who controls the news? The men who want us to go to war. It's a lie and a mind fuck, dude. It's a mind fuck.
No, because I see
Facebook
people out
steer,
at restaurants.
No. The Facebook shit, they steer the stuff to you. They steer you what stories you see. They make it harder to share the political stuff. Haven't you noticed on Facebook it's harder to share the truth than it is to share Miley stuff? All of a sudden you see that, oh, your post might not show up due to privacy settings. What? What are you talking about? My attachment might not show up due to privacy settings. That's a new trick. And we know they're doing it. YouTube searches are being controlled. So when you try to do a search, YouTube only gives you what they want to give you. It's a mind fuck, dude. Do not buy into it. Stand up and free your mind from the corporate control, because the people I'm talking to everywhere. Some people are freaked out. Some people are not wanting to talk about it. Some people, it is safe for them to talk about Miley because they're afraid to talk about the other shit. But they're thinking about it, man. It is on their fucking mind. Other stuff is a distraction. They want you distracted. They want you tired. They want you beaten down. Well, America, I think you're better than that. I think you're smarter than that. I really fucking do. All this stuff with extreme sports, take that energy and put that into taking back your government. Instead of trying to break both ankles on that stupid skateboard trick for a fucking YouTube clip, when you have your limp at 40, no one will care about that fucking YouTube clip, you dummy. Get off your ass and get real. Get involved. You can't find a job? Go get elected. Go get involved in the government. What the hell? Why not, man? Because they're trying to fuck us. All of us.
The people I run into, Hart, I just see them not caring. And I'm not talking about on Facebook. I'm talking about in real life. You go to a restaurant and all anyone there wants to talk about is Miley Cyrus. Even some bars will outright tell you, you do not talk politics in my bar. You can talk about anything else. They don't want, they're willfully ignorant. They want to remain ignorant.
I did have a bar here in L.A., here in Eagle Rock. I came in and I used the word fag, and they gave me a hard time over my language. So I got worse with my language for about 5 minutes. Then I went over to down the bar, and I called somebody a cocksucker in the bar, too. Somebody said something. I was watching the news on the TV, and a friend of mine was on the TV, and he was getting screwed over by the news people. And somebody said something nasty to TV, and I was like, shut the fuck up, cocksucker! And afterward, everybody like, oh! And I'm like, and they threaten to kick me out, but so what? You know, I'll drink my drink and I'll take my money elsewhere, because if they don't want how my money spends, I'll spend my money elsewhere. And that's their right. That's their right. If they don't want you to do that, they could serve whoever they want. You know, they really can. And a lot of it is how you talk about it and how you approach the subject and how you raise the subject. Are you getting shrill? Are you screaming like a woman? You know, it's a matter of, can you talk calmly and rationally about this stuff? Now, when I'm on the show, I know I'm yelling and screaming. Part of that is because this is 10 minutes for me to fucking blow off steam, because a lot of this stuff really scares me. I'm afraid of what's happening in my country. I've been a First Amendment advocate for my entire career, and my cartoonists have gone to jail for obscenity. My filmmakers that I have worked with have gone to prison for obscenity. Did they hurt anybody? No. Did they steal anything? No. So why was taxpayer money used to house them and put them in a jail? We're aware of a boy who went to jail for his Facebook rap, and he was assaulted in prison and spent 5 months in prison before a stranger bailed him out. What's up with that? So I'm saying, I think Americans are better. I'm telling you, I'm asking, I'm telling America, I'm demanding more, guys. I want more out of you fuckers, because I know you got it, because America is the mutt of the world. All the badass motherfuckers who can't stand it in their country, who got to get out, who got to do something different. They cross oceans. They cross deserts. They fucking build boats out of wood and fucking just kind of float, barely make it here. America is filled with motherfuckers who came here to get over, who came here to change their lives. That's serious ass kicking. And we've been mind fucked. We've been tricked. We've been Jedi mind tricked. It's time to wake up, America. Wake up, America! Wake up, America! Wake up, America!
But it's no use. of your abuse. I lose the money and know you. We're born with a chance. Rise above, we're gonna rise above. I am gonna have my chance. Rise above, we're gonna rise above. We are born with a chance. Rise above, we're gonna rise above. And I am gonna have my chance. Rise above, we're gonna rise above. Bring my God of your abuse. Rise above, rise above, rise above. We're gonna rise above, we're gonna rise above, we're gonna rise above.
So normally we would go into another topic or set of topics. I want to stick my finger in the eye of these sons of bitches that are copywriting Martin Luther King's speech. So you know what I'm going to do after this, Charlie? We're going to talk a little bit, and then I'm going to play the entire 15-minute uncut speech on this show. And no, I didn't pay these greedy sons of bitches for it.
Let's see who calls this a bad thing.
I want to see if I get in trouble for this. Now, some people might say, dude, you're fucking playing with fire. Maybe. But fire cooks my food, so I'm all right with fire. Since you just watched the speech recently, do you think that this is something, we already talked about its cultural significance, but do you think this is something that the youth of today, especially the black youth, should see? Because one of the things I took away from watching this again was just how powerful his actual message was. He outright said that he did not believe the black militants that were rising at that time, that whole Kill Whitey movement, that he actually was calling for true integration, not black superiority.
Yes, there's a key difference. Like, it's the difference between MLK and, like, Malcolm X or Louis Farrakhan or somebody like that. This was the first major instance of the black community, for lack of a better word, forgiving the white community for all the shit that went on.
Oh, he even has a line in it that he hopes one day slave owner and slave can sit at the same table of equal stature. That's not something to be idealized. That's not something to be going, give me money. Charlie and I will talk a little bit more about the speech itself after this. Here is the entire I Have a Dream speech, August 28th, 1963.
At this time, I have the honor to present to you the moral leader of our nation. I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the, The Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize the shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check. A check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is tied up with our destiny. And they have come to realize that their freedom is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. And as we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our bodies, heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the cities. We cannot be satisfied as long as the Negro's basic mobility is from a smaller ghetto to a larger one. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by signs stating for whites only. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, no, we are not satisfied and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities. Knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the
sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners, will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
I think white, black, Asian, doesn't matter. I think every race on this planet should listen to that speech, and it should not be censored from YouTube. It should not be censored from documentaries. I think what we did here, even if I do get in trouble for it, was a good thing.
I think it was a good thing too. I think I actually can't think of any other example other than this speech of something that is just so universally decent and inspiring to withhold this from anybody because of financial compensation is just wrong.
No, let's say for the sake of the argument I'm going to bring up that the speech is widely enough available that people know its content, okay? Do you think that it's hampered at all by the fact that it's used in a fucking Apple commercial ad, that it's used in commercials, and that it is, let's face it, because, you know, the reason he copywrote it was to keep it out of the hands of hate mongers, this speech is used wrongfully by white supremacist groups to say, look, he's trying to get all the Negroes together to overthrow whites, because they always cut out that part where he says black and white living together and to stop black militarism.
I don't think it's wrong. Like, I don't think the speech itself is hampered by being used in an Apple commercial. I think that looks, that
you think
reflects
its
negatively.
Is, though?
I don't think its impact is, no. I mean, I think all the negative impact is on Apple, just for using someone else's words rather than coming up with their own.
Being so shameless, right?
Exactly.
But so do you think that this speech still holds water today? Do you think that the world has changed? And let's face it, how many times on this show have we talked about racial injustice to the point where what he's asking for is still, I think, out of reach? As much as I might come across as an asshole saying that, I think we're actually farther apart now racially than we were in 1963.
Well, I would disagree with that. I mean, just because in 1963 there were fire hoses and German shepherds, and now there's not. So, I mean, I think we're definitely better off now than we were back then. I don't think we're perfect, and I'll be honest, I don't think we're ever going to be perfect. I think the message still resonates today. I think it's still a valid point. I think it's still a respectable goal to strive to, you know what I mean?
Then do you think the message being handcuffed the way it is actually is being diminished by the fact that people can't see it as freely as they should based on the greed of his sons of bitches heirs?
No, I think that given the cultural importance and given the message that still resonates and all the shit that we've talked about today, given all that, I think demanding financial compensation is even more despicable. It's like it's not like having the cure for cancer, because I don't want to overstate it like that, but it's the last truly inspiring American speech, when you think about it. I mean, there have been some good speeches since then. President Obama is one of the greatest speech writers and speech givers within our history. And actually, I don't know how much of his actual speeches he writes himself. Probably very little.
But I think his speeches, to be fair, would hold a lot more weight if he actually stood behind the things he claimed and wasn't droning his own people and spying on his own people,
well,
at the
sure.
same time talking about transparency and ending the violence.
Yeah, it'd be a definite bonus. I'll give you that. I mean, if he actually stood by everything he said, that would be awesome. That would be way better than, you know, just saying it.
He
is a good speaker.
So I'm going to guess you're talking about just the speeches itself, not necessarily the person behind them when it comes to Obama.
I'm talking about the inspiration that a speech can provide. And other than a few key moments from Barack Obama, I think that the speech we just listened to is the last example of an American speech that could truly inspire.
And I think, you know, in all honesty, whether they realize it or not, King's sons of bitch and heirs, they are censoring their father and grandfather's legacy by their own greed. Whether they realize it or not, they are censoring Martin Luther King.
Yeah, I mean, for future generations to be denied a speech like this just because someone who didn't write the speech, didn't give the speech, wants to get paid, that's despicable. It's unforgivable.
So I hope you guys enjoyed the speech. I hope you guys actually realize what we're talking about, and I hope this episode actually resonates with people for as long as it's going to be up. Where can we find Charlie the Fister McMullen?
You can find me on one of the best goddamn mattress commercials I've ever seen that is making the rounds on Facebook right now. You can find me at www.geekjuicemedia.com with Josh and Alex and all of those guys. And at www.steelcitystandup.weebly.com. We're working on getting the Weebly out of there. I know the word itself makes your skin crawl, but for now, that's where you can find it.
And he's got a lot of really funny stand-ups on there. He's a funny dude, and I mean that sincerely.
And I thank you for that. I'm glad that at least more people are starting to get it.
And you can find me, 1201beyond.com. Contact the show, 1201beyond@gmail.com. And of course, there's always geekjuicemedia.com. So have a good night, guys.
Later.
What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.